Let's introduce Sister Barbie Grant. We've known each other since 1984.
Long time.
And just gets better and better.
Yes, thank
Amen.
You. Love you. Sylvia, you want your water?
That's not mine. I think they brought it up.
Okay. Hello, everybody. How is everyone?
Good.
I was like, did they plan all that with all the color coordination? It's pretty good. I don't know if I have any orange in my closet. Maybe one shirt. You got to see my closet. We don't want to talk about it. I made one room into a closet. So, needless to say, I don't shop anymore. I had enough. Amen? So, I'm on assignment this afternoon, and I just want to say that I appreciate, Sylvia, you asking me to share with everyone, because this is kind of like, this is everyone. But I do have a message, and it's interesting because, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh. Because when Ed was saying last night, he must have said more than 24 times the word, the word together.
Yeah.
Together. I don't know if you noticed that. I noticed it because the title of my message is, Together We Pray. So I am on assignment today, and my assignment is to impart and stir up the spirit of prayer. Now, there is something about what I carry.
Yeah.
And, you know, I carry something of an element of supply when it comes to prayer. So the Apostle Paul says, I've come that I may impart unto you. So you know this, spiritual things are transferable. They're transferable through the laying on of hands,
yes,
through association, and who you sit under. So it's not just what I'm saying, it's what's coming up out of me and going into you. And so I've come to impart something to you and to stir up the spirit of prayer. And we're going to speak to leadership regarding the new level the Holy Spirit desires to take us as it relates to the spirit of prayer and the art of intercession.
Yes.
Now, by way of introduction, Matthew 21:13, Jesus is quoting from Isaiah 56:7, and he said, my house will be called a house of prayer. Now, individually and collectively as a body or our local church, we are to be a house of prayer. Now, how many of you know we all know that? Amen?
Yes.
We are a house of prayer. God no longer dwells in temples made with hands. He now dwells in us. He walks in us. He's our God. We're his people. Everywhere we go, he goes. But there is also something else on the inside of us that's also a part of the essence of God, and that is he is also has in his essence a spirit of prayer.
Right.
That's why he said, my house will be called a house of prayer. And I'm also going to focus as we get into this on our churches, that collectively as a body, our churches are also called to be houses of prayer.
Right.
Now, you've heard this, but too much word and we dry up. Too much spirit and we blow up. You get a combination of both the word and the spirit and we what? We grow up. And perilous times, which is what we're in today. How many of you know we're in perilous times?
Yeah.
Who would have ever dreamed 20 years ago that we'd be dealing with the things we're dealing with? We are living in perilous times.
Yeah.
And perilous times require radical devotion,
yes,
to prayer and the Word of God. Not just the Word of God. Yes, we're to build our houses on the Word of God, and when the winds come and the storms come and rage against our houses or our families, our houses won't fall because we built it on the foundation of the Word of God, and we need the Word of God. We need to preach the Word of God. We need to share the Word of God, teach our people, but we also have to have the spirit of prayer in our midst, individually and collectively. Our strength is kept in prayer.
Right.
1 week without prayer makes 1 week.
Yeah.
And I find that when I travel and when I speak, the strongest churches are the churches that are houses of prayer. And they carry an element of the spirit of prayer, which translates into, they carry the presence of God on another level.
Right.
You can go into a church and you can sense when that presence of the Holy Spirit is in greater manifestation. And generally, it's because people have learned how to tap into the spirit of prayer. And they've learned to commune with the Holy Spirit internally, externally, and some even walk with God. How many of you know that we can pray continually without ceasing? And I noticed that when I'm alone by myself, if I just look on the inside of me, I notice that there is always a continual song going up, Romans, at Revelations 5:8, before the throne of God.
Yeah.
It is just a continual prayer because our hearts are never disconnected from the Holy One.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
So we need both the Word of God and prayer. It's like a bird. A bird has two wings, right? And the bird needs both wings to fly, right? So it's like prayer and the Word of God. We need both the Word of God and we also need prayer. We need both to fly. We need both to be balanced. And what I've seen, especially in the season that we're in right now, I've seen that there's an imbalance.
Yes.
See, it takes effort to enter in. It takes effort to give of ourselves. It takes effort to shut off our minds and hook ourselves up to the inside and enter into the Holy of Holies and enter in and give of ourselves. It takes effort. Well, just teach me. How about we use what we have and we stir ourselves up and we give and we make mention of the Lord and use what we have on the inside in the place of prayer?
Right.
So we need both to fly. Okay? So prayer opens up the door for God to work. This podium, by the way, is bigger than me. Do you notice that? Prayer opens up the door for God to work. This is something I say all the time. When I do my media work, when I do my Facebook Lives, wherever I go to teach, to preach, to pray, to prophesy, whatever it is, prayer opens up the door for God to work. Why don't we say that together? Prayer opens up the door for God to work. James 5:16 says, "The earnest, heartfelt, amplified, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working." Yeah, I know that scripture, Mark. I could quote that scripture. That is a great scripture. Yes, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only.
Right?
So Catherine Coleman once said, she said, "The greatest power given to any individual is the power of prayer." And when I was thinking about this quote, I was thinking, this is what came to me, and I wrote it down. I would say that Catherine understood the power of prayer. And we know that Catherine Coleman knew how to get and generate the presence of God in her meetings so that the Holy Spirit could begin to move and manifest in our midst. Something Gary said today when he was speaking, I forget what it was, but it just reminded me that when you're in the glory of God and you're in the presence of God, miracles happen.
Amen.
Right. So Catherine Coleman knew how to generate the presence of God, how to pray and press in and lean into the presence of God,
yeah.
And she knew how to create an atmosphere for miracles to happen.
Yeah.
So I think we need to check up on ourselves, you know, and make corrections where we need to. I think we need to see, are we praying as much as the Lord is calling us to prayer? Because prayer opens up the door for God to work.
Yes.
I'm not saying we're praying out of works. I'm saying we're praying out of rest. We're praying out of our authority. We're praying where we're tramping on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the devil. And we're going in and we're taking back territories and cities and regions. And some of the kids he's trying to sift is wheat. We're going in. It's an activation of our authority in the earth. That's what prayer is. That's a good one. I'm glad we're recording this. It's an activation of our authority in the earth. You guys have heard of John Ramirez, right? He was a high-level warlock witch. Warlock, I think, would be for male witch. He was at the highest level. He said, my father literally was Satan. He trained him. He would talk to him. He would leave his body. He would go over neighborhoods. He would put word curses on neighborhoods, cities, and nations. That's why life and death are in the power of the tongue. That's why when you pray, stand therefore and watch what you say so you don't negate your words by your words what you just prayed about. So what he said was, he said he would go over these regions and these neighborhoods. Specifically, one thing he said that I want to share with you is that this one neighborhood he would go into, he said, to try to put a curse or one of his spells in that neighborhood. And he said, if there was a praying person or family in that neighborhood, and this is the way he talks, he said, there was no accomplishment.
Amen.
Are you kidding me? See, I listened to John Ramirez because his ministry after he was born again and was discipled under David Wilkerson was to expose the works of darkness. So I like that because I like prayer and I like to get people praying, and it encourages me that prayer opens up the door for God to work.
Right.
Prayer demolishes the works of darkness, causes the things of God to be able to have free course.
Amen.
Why do you think the Apostle Paul said, pray for us? Why? That the word of the Lord may have free course,
yes,
and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. But if they didn't pray, we have not because we ask not.
Yes.
If we don't pray, we don't take our place and we don't take our authority, God can't do what he desires to do in the earth. And that's not que sera, whatever will be, will be. We do the whole que sera like we're doing right now, and darkness will overtake the earth. But see, we are not of them that draw back.
Come on.
I agree with what Gary said today. There's something in me that won't quit.
Come on.
I see the revival coming to New York. I see the revival coming to the nation. I see the churches being filled with flocks of men. I see a move of God. I see signs and wonders and miracles manifesting in amongst us. But it's prayer that opens up the door for God to work. And if we seek him, we'll find him. It's a hunger and a thirst after righteousness that will cause the heart of God to respond. And he responds to that faith and that cry of our heart. This is something I learned recently because God showed me this when I was teaching. Don't you just love that?
Yes.
See, people think we teach. We do study to show ourselves approved, but there's also that Holy Spirit that teaches us while we teach.
Amen.
You know how you're always taught, and Brother Hagin used to teach it all the time. He prayed that Ephesians prayer, the eyes of my understanding. Oh, I prayed that my eyes would be open and I would understand what is the hope of my calling. You know, the Ephesians prayer. He said he prayed it every day for 3 months, and then after 3 months, he said all of a sudden, he said, you know, the word of God just opened up to him.
Yeah.
And so I thought, I'm going to follow Brother Hagin because he follows Christ.
Right.
And so I was discipled under him. And I cleaned his house. And I was around him. Spiritual things are transferable.
Yeah.
I used to sit in his chair. I was doing my job, but I'd sit in his chair and I'd receive it. But one day, and I've been thinking about this, it is the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, correct? And I was teaching my team at one of our team meetings 2 months ago, and I'm thinking to myself, in my back of my head, I'm thinking, that's works. I'm praying in works. Well, I pray the eyes of my understanding would be enlightened. Lord, open up the eyes of my understanding. Because I wanted to know more. I want to know more. I want to see the heart of God. I want him to reveal himself to me, so on and so forth. And then one day the Lord said, right out of my mouth, he said, it's not works.
Wow.
Get this. He said, you're praying out of hunger.
Oh, wow.
Oh. You're praying out of hunger. You're not praying out of works. You want more of me. You want to see me for who I am. You want to know me. You want to become deeply and intimately acquainted with me. You want to understand the wonders of my person. You want to know more and more in my word, not just for yourselves, but so that you can teach others. So we're praying out of hunger,
Jesus.
Not works.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Good word.
So I would say that Catherine Coleman, she surrendered.
Amen.
Yes.
Father, we surrender all.
Yes.
Father, we surrender all.
Yeah,
all to thee, as that hymn says, our precious Savior, we surrender all. Hear the cries of your people, Lord. We want to see you, to know you, to see revival in our land. I would say she was surrendered. And if anybody ever read any of her books, that woman was surrendered. Sometimes I question myself. Do you ever question yourself? Well, am I surrendered? And then you know he just wants more. Right?
Yes.
I recently went through, I still am, to be honest, a pruning process. Because how many of you ever, we all do, we walk with God, and then you go through like a month of like, where are you?
Yeah.
What is this all about? I'm used to your presence. I'm used to that feeling. Mm-hmm. And so the month of May, I said to myself, well, I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm not stopping. No. I don't care what I feel. I don't care what I'm not moved.
Right.
I'm going to put my hand on my hip because I have an attitude. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I see.
Right.
I'm not moved by none of it.
Right.
Got it?
Right.
I don't care what the warfare says.
Right.
I don't care what the thoughts are
right.
saying in my mind because the enemy would desire to tempt us
Come
and
on.
Sift us
right.
and get us to draw back.
Yes.
So I said, I'm not drawing back.
Come on.
No, I am the house of God, the temple of the Holy Ghost. You'll never leave me, never forsake me. Whether I feel you or not, I know you're here. You are with me in trouble. And I also know that with long life, he's going to satisfy me and show me his salvation. No.
Come on.
Resist the devil.
Right.
And he'll flee from you.
Hallelujah.
So I just put my hand on my hip and said, no, I am going to seek the Lord.
Yeah.
It is time to seek the Lord. You know that?
Amen.
It's time to break up the foul ground.
Amen.
It is time to seek the Lord.
Amen.
Why? Because he wants to come and rain righteousness on us.
Yeah.
You know, foul ground is that hard ground. It was once fruitful and cultivated and hardy, and then it gets hardened, listen, through difficulties,
right.
through trials, through just keeping on, these pastors, I don't even know how you do it sometimes. I could never be a pastor. But it's that kind of ground. I'm just going to share with you a vision that I had, and I'll get back to the praying in the month of May. I was leading guided prayer at Joe Sources Church in South Jersey.
Jesus.
And for some reason, God decided to let me operate as a seer consistently. Whereas before, it was just every once in a while, and I was more like a knobby prophet.
Yeah.
Is that what you call it? I don't even know what you do. I just knew the function. And so when I was leading guided prayer, I saw New Jersey. And I got to tell you, I saw it just as clear as I see you. And I saw New Jersey, and I saw New Jersey, and I saw New Jersey, and the ground. And the ground was hard.
Jesus.
And the ground was foul ground.
Yeah.
And I just was describing what I was seeing because I was leading guided prayer.
Yeah.
Because men ought to always pray and not faint. And people have fainted because of the trials and the tribulations. And they don't see answers to their prayers. And this one died and that happened. You know, my best friend passed away. Well, I'm not going to stop praying. I'm not going to stop believing God. I'm not doing it. And so I saw the ground. And as we prayed, I saw and I saw the cracks in the ground. And as we continued to pray, we were interceding, which was supposed to be my message, I saw the rain from heaven come down and water the earth. And I saw it. And then the Spirit of God said, I want them to keep praying into it. Keep praying into it. Keep praying into it. Prayer opens up the door for God to work. Keep praying into it. And then the more we prayed, the rain kept coming. And it kept coming. And then the Lord showed me, he said, you see all those cracks in that foul ground? He said, it's not a bad thing, it's a good thing. What the enemy is meant for the evil, I'll turn it around for the good. Amen. He said, those cracks in the ground, he said, that's a good thing. He said, because the rain comes down, when it comes down, and waters the earth, and I saw it, the water goes right into the cracks. Yeah. And it gets deeper into the soil.
Yeah.
Let me just tell you something. Prayer opens up the door for God to work.
Amen.
So, what happened? Have you seen the whole manifestation of that yet? No. Not yet, but I'm not moved by what I see.
Right.
We're not moved. We're going to continue steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of prayer, knowing our labors are not in vain. Because I'm going to tell you what it's like. It's going to be like. It's going to be like a suddenly. Oh, you said peace prophets, they say that it's going to be suddenly. No. I've been preaching this since 1981, and I've seen the move of God. I've seen what God wants to do. That's do somebody do the math. It's that many years. Have you seen all things yet under your feet? Have you seen the move of God yet? No, but there's no time or distance in the Spirit. But we're definitely making an impression, or what's the word? We're definitely making what? An impact.
Amen.
And it's going to be like a suddenly.
Yes.
And the rain from heaven is coming down already and watering the earth.
Yes.
The foul ground will be broke up. And here's the interesting thing. As we prayed into that together, we were praying, I saw a big boot. You know, like those work boots? I have those kind of boots. You know, those beige ones?
Timberlake.
That it? Is that
Timberline,
the
yeah.
Timberline? I have those. I found them in the garage, and I pulled them out. And I saw one of those boots going like this.
Come on.
You know, we know in part, we prophesy in part, and we see through a glass darkly. So I'm like, Lord, what am I seeing? Because I'm new to this. Leading guided prayer. I didn't want to lead guided prayer, so I'm not just another subject. I'm like three subjects. But I saw us. Because it's hard to get people to pray. You got to teach them, train them, show them, and demonstrate.
Preach.
So I saw that boot going like this, stomp, stomp, stomp. And it was this constant stomping. And I stopped and I said, Lord, what is that? Who is that? Who is that? Who is that? And I thought in my head, is that God's foot?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what the Holy Ghost showed me? That's the body of Christ. And members in particular. And we are taking our authority. And we're stomping on that foul ground. We're making straight paths for our feet. And we're having an impact in the atmosphere, in this region, in your region. And no weapon formed against us will prosper. Because we're using the authority of Jesus Christ. It is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. It is the word of God. It is the grace of God. It is the Holy Spirit of God, but what we need to do is yield. I need my people to yield. There's a spirit of prayer on the inside of you. Stir it up.
Yes.
Good. Oh, I got lots of time, but we're gonna pray. Anyway, getting back to May. So I spent the whole month. Praying. I'm talking praying. I'm just not out of works, out of hunger. I'm just going to say it, because I'm going to tell you what I did. I normally don't do that, but I don't really care anymore because I know who I am. I know I've been crushed, beaten up, beat down, cried. You know, the whole thing. reject it, the whole thing.
Yeah.
So I know who I am.
That's right. That's
so
right.
I spent that month with God, and I prayed 5 hours, 6 hours, put the Word of God on, prayed in tongues, worship, walked the floors, got in my car, put a tape on, set my heart to seek the Lord. He said nothing for a month. Are you kidding me? I get it. He speaks through his word. I get it. But I'm not saying I want more outside the revelation of the word, but I like that connection, that intimacy, that thing, that walking with God, that thing, that thing, that intimate, that gut thing. You know what I mean? That's something on the inside. It's better. You can't be taught. It's got to be caught.
That's right.
And so for a month, I'm stopping. You act like you're all hiding on me. I know you're here, but those that seek me find me.
Hey, come on.
I'm hiding. I hide from my dog when I play with him, so he seeks me out and finds me.
My God, come on.
You know, he likes to do that. His tail's wagging. I think there's something about the remnant. We like it when God hides. You hide?
Jesus.
You're going to hide from me?
Hide.
Really?
We'll seek your heart.
You're not hiding from me. I'm going to find you.
Hey.
That's right. The deeper level that God wants us to go. I want you to go deeper. The reason I'm so quiet is because I'm causing you to go deeper and deeper and deeper. I know my sheep hear my voice. I get it. But he wasn't that rhema word. He wasn't really talking that rhema thing. I get it. Please don't misunderstand me. I could go to the Bible. I could do my I am affirmations on the Bible. I know it. Does everybody understand what I'm talking about?
Come on.
So, 1 month. May 31st. That was actually my dog's birthday. May 31st. I took him to the park at 4 o'clock, and I'm like, I'm gonna walk my dog. It's all right, Milo. I'll take you to the park. Took it to the park. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You sense his presence, or is it just me? You sense him? Don't you want to see his glory?
Yeah.
Don't you want his presence?
Yes.
He's, as Brother Hagin used to say, my Jesus is more real to me.
That's right, yeah.
Than my wife.
That's right.
Laying next to me in the bed.
Yes.
Yeah. I want that.
Yes.
I get to the park. I put him on leash. He's a puller. I tried to fix that. I couldn't fix it. He does all kinds of stuff. Rolls over. Paw. All kinds of tricks I could do. He does. He just that thing on the pole. Thank God he's not a big dog. Gets on the leash. He's walking. All of a sudden, Lord starts downloading a message into my heart.
Come on.
He starts speaking to me at the park when I'm walking my dog with the doggy bag.
Come
you
on.
Think you got problems?
Jesus.
That's right.
With the doggy bag. There must be something about that. And I'm sitting there, he starts downloading a message into my spirit. I took out my phone, and while I'm walking him, I'm voice activating a word to myself.
Yes, I said that.
And I'm going to tell you what the thing God said to me, one of the things. He said, I'm pruning you. Pruning me?
Come on.
What? Me? You're pruning me? Is that the pain I feel? Is that the cutting off I feel? Is that where I'm by myself all the time at night and feel pain in my heart?
Jesus.
You're pruning me? I know that bad things don't come from God. Sickness doesn't come from God. But he's separating his people.
Yes.
It's going to cost us something.
Amen.
I'm separating you unto myself that I may take you higher, take you deeper, that you may bring forth more fruit, and that the fruit should remain.
Jesus.
There's a whole generation that's waiting on you to arise, to shine, to be everything I've called you to be. But many of my people are distracted. They're distracted at the noise of the enemy. They're distracted with cares of this world. They're distracted with the cares of the ministry. There's so much work to do. They're distracted with mowing the lawn. You name it.
Yep.
I want you to myself.
Right.
And so he said, I'm pruning you. And then you know what else he said to me? Couldn't believe it. Can I just be honest?
Believe it.
He goes, I want from you reckless abandonment.
Hey,
come on.
I thought I was reckless.
Yeah, that's good.
Do I look reckless to you?
Yeah.
Yes. Leather jackets make people look reckless. I'm reckless. He said, I want reckless abandonment from you. Reckless. I go, reckless? What? So he's been pruning us. That he may bring forth more fruit.
Yes.
So when you think you're in a dry season and a dry time, rejoice, because your redemption's drawing nigh.
Amen.
Yeah, the interesting thing about this is I have a lemon tree that somebody gave me. And the lemon tree is very annoying. Because lemon trees aren't supposed to live in New Jersey.
That's right.
Especially in the winter.
Yeah.
Because what do you do with a lemon tree? Yeah, I bring it in. Every time I bring the lemon tree in, makes a mess. I'm not into messes. I like a lot of order. Every drawer, every closet, color coordinated. I mean, I'm not completely, but I like order. So the only thing that's not in order is my silverware drawer. I mix up all the different sizes of the spoons, and I'm good with that. Because I'm like, I hate emptying the dishwasher, and I don't care that they're all different sizes in the little compartments. So I bring the lemon tree in. The lemon tree, I love it, but if the leaves just fall off, make a mess all over the floor. So every winter, and I don't like watching it go through that. Every winter, that lemon tree loses all its leaves. And then I got up in the spring, single-handedly, now I have my landscaper helps me, pull that tree out from my sunroom back onto the deck. So this year, I was like, I'm trimming that. I didn't even know God was going to prune me. You see, your steps are ordered by God.
Oh,
don't think for 1 minute that this is an accident. Your steps are ordered and established by God. He said, I'll cause your thoughts to become agreeable with my thoughts. Kenneth Hagin said, my people are going to flow in the supernatural just as natural as a bird flies in the air and a fish swims in the sea. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that that lemon tree, nice shoes, by the way, was going to, you know, your wife, did she buy these for you? See? I didn't know that that lemon tree was going to be, is it a metaphor? Is that the word? To be used by God to show me where I'm at? So I take that lemon tree out, and before I knew I was going to go through a pruning process, I just was like, I can't take it anymore. I didn't even know if I did it right. I just start pruning, cutting off all those branches because they were prickly, and I didn't want anybody to get pinched, and then I put it outside. There you go. Hang out on the deck. Good luck. And you know what the Lord said to me? You see that tree? He said, it's you. He said, you watch that tree. I am perfecting everything that concerns you.
Amen.
And as the time is going on, I look outside, and that tree, because I pruned it, it's fuller and bigger, and it's the leaves are coming and sprouting, and it's eventually going to get flowers and bring forth lemons.
Amen.
I'm pruning you.
Hey. Yeah. Come on.
God's pruning us.
Hallelujah.
So I'm going to just say this really quick. Believe it or not, we're really good on time. You know that you guys know this, right? There's different kinds of prayer. I'm not going to get into all of them because I want to skip into Together We Pray. But Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching. So you know the whole scripture with all manner of prayer, all the different translations. You know, Godspeed says use every kind of prayer, and there's different rules that go with different prayers. How many of you know that? We're not going to get into that. You guys are all leaders. You know that there's the prayer of faith. That prayer, you don't pray if it be your will at the end. There's a prayer of dedication, consecration. That's the prayer where you pray if it be your will. Right? A lot of people don't even know that there's different kinds of prayer. There's there's a prayer of worship, right? As they minister to the Lord spoke. There's a prayer of agreement. Two of you shall agree. There's a prayer of commitment. 1 Peter 5:7, that's where you cast all your cares over on the Lord. You commit your ways to Him. There's a corporate united prayer. There's prayer in the Spirit for personal edification. I love that one. When we know not what to pray, we pray in the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, praying in the Holy Ghost is a weapon of our warfare that we've got to stir up and we've got to use. These seeker-friendly churches, let me tell you, a lot of them are going to hell. He said hell from the pulpit. Now I'm saying it. They're going to hell. And they're not allowing the gifts in the Spirit to be in manifestation. But God wants us to stir up the praying in tongues and the praying in the Holy Ghost. But I don't understand what I'm saying. Well, that's the Bible. When you pray in an unknown tongue, you don't understand what you're saying. But you're speaking mysteries to God. He understands you. And you're praying from a deeper realm and a deeper level in the Spirit.
Amen.
Then there's, I added this one, you'll appreciate this, you, those of you that are in the prophetic move. Then there's soaking prayer. I added this one. Because people were soaking too much, I might add. I want to be a prophet. And you're soaking and doing what? Okay, I get it. You want to be a prophet. Well, what are you going to do with your prophet anointing? Is it to puff you up? Or is it to be a servant unto that person in the grocery store and have a word for them in season because they're weary?
Come on.
Yes. I don't want to get into it. But then there's, that soaking prayer, right? Where you lay in the presence of God and you worship, you don't even talk. It's an internal contemplative kind of praying, and there's seasons for that.
Yes.
And then there's the prayer of intercession. What is the prayer of intercession? There's so much. It's a selfless prayer. It's prayer for another. It has nothing to do with me, mine, and what I can get out of it. That's why God wants to stir it up. He wants to revive the prayer of intercession. It's one who stands in the gap before God. It's a go-between, an intercessor, one who interposes between parties, right? It's a lawyer who pleads a case on the behalf of another, right? We know it, but let's do it. It's to plead or make a request on the behalf of another, to intervene with the purpose of producing agreement, to get the ear of a king on the behalf of another, who is the King of Kings. Yep, it's the greatest act of love or sacrifice of one's time and even giving up the temporal things of this life to yield to the Spirit of grace and supplication. It is giving oneself over as a house of prayer, a channel on the behalf of another, and as one who represents God in the earth. The intercessor Jesus is on the inside of us. Hallelujah. As He is, so are we in this world. We need to stir Him up. Jesus said, greater love is no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friend. We've got to stir it up. Let not a man look on his own things, but let him look on the things of others, and not to please himself. Do you know that when Job prayed for his friends,
yes,
God gave Job twice as much as he had before? There's no needs when you're focusing your attention on what is in the best interest of another person. It's the kind of praying that lays one hand on God and one hand on a person or a state or a region. This kind of prayer contends with the adversary, the devil, who goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And by the way, when you're doing that, this is me. I don't lead corporate prayer. I don't lead people personally in these churches because they don't even... You see what I mean?
Yes.
I don't lead them into dealing with demons that are in high-level principalities and powers. I honest to God, I don't really know what I believe about that. I don't know yet. I got to talk to other people. And I wrote a book on the art of intercession, and I have a chapter in it. I just want to make sure that what I'm teaching is right. But I'm not leading people into that kind of praying that are in these churches, these little families, and these little people. But I will say this. I will say this. When you go into dealing with the devil in that kind of intercession, because there's two sides of intercession, you're contending with the adversary, and then you're going before God
right.
on the behalf. I call it the positive and the negative side. Got that for Bobby Jean Merck.
Right.
But when you go into this place of prayer and you start to contend with the adversary, because we did it also in corporate prayer, when you begin to do that, you've got the full, you're clothed with the full armor of God. The devil doesn't know if it's you or Jesus. You got the full armor of God.
Yeah.
And he already knows that Jesus took him out.
Oh yeah.
This came up on a Facebook post literally like 3 weeks ago, but it's perfect for this message. Margie's Facebook post. It's so amazing how God orchestrates our life, isn't it?
Yes.
And he puts all these things together.
Yes.
If you commit your way to, I keep hearing this, I don't know who this is for, you commit your way to the Lord. You say yes to him and surrender. He'll cause your thoughts to become agreeable with his thoughts.
Yes.
And those plans that we desire or want will succeed. That's why we say, Lord, we surrender all. My friends, it takes the works out of it. Surrender just brings us into rest. It's not my will, it's your will. My friends, this is my post. It was from 2000, I don't remember when. Have you ever prayed until you found yourself in the place of prayer where there was no thought of self?
Yes. Come on.
I miss that, don't you?
Yeah.
How about prayer where the deepest part of you was crying and meeting with the deepest part of God? You're so gripped with what you see. You're so gripped with how your community looks. You're so gripped with what that person's going through that something on the inside of you is turning and stirring, and you see them the way God sees them.
Yes.
And it's gripping. When the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost and you start seeing as he sees, loving as he loves, we will give ourselves over more into the place of prayer. I want that.
Amen.
How about groanings in the Spirit? This is the art of intercession. It is by the Spirit and not worked up in the natural. That was big and important, very big and important back in the day. Oh my God, because people were hungry for God, and a lot of leaders were getting annoyed about it because people were getting in the flesh. Well, really? I wish some people in this time and season would get in the flesh. At least if you start out in the flesh, you'll end up in the Spirit. But we must be yielded as a house of prayer. I believe we must teach the art of intercession by precept and example to this next generation.
Yes.
Kennedy Hagin once said, if we are not careful, the art of intercession will be lost to the generations to come.
Yeah.
So, this is the vision I want to impart, and then we're going to pray. We want to revive what I'm calling, in the churches I'm being sent to, the Book of Acts prayer.
Yes.
Amen.
And nobody's going to tell me that it can't be done.
Jesus.
Nobody. A lot of our churches, they don't even have a prayer ministry anymore. That's why a lot of our pastors are suffering. Because if the devil can get to the top, he can get to the people.
Yes.
That's why we're not seeing the new births like we should.
Jesus.
Because when Zion travails, she brings forth her children.
That's right.
There is a travail in the Spirit. I don't know how to explain it. God doesn't always explain everything in head knowledge. But a lot of our churches, I call it Book of Acts prayer. There's not even a prayer ministry. So when somebody, Joe Source, I keep using his as an example, he wanted me to come and do, it's like rolled my eyes. Could you come and lead prayer in our church once a month on a Friday night? Rolled my eyes. Like, are you kidding? I did KIU events. Right?
Yes.
I would teach like this. Powerful anointing. Say things you can't even believe you're saying. It's by the Spirit. Anointed. The whole thing. and taught like precision. And then when it was time for the prayer, people fizzled out after 15 minutes. Kidding me? 15 minutes.
My God.
Could you not watch just 1 hour?
Come on.
The spirit indeed is willing, the flesh is weak. Come but on. Stop your lazy bones and get off your...
Come on.
And get into your rhythm of prayer.
Yes.
15 minutes. And God told me, I want you to do KRU events in all the different cities. I don't know how many we did. We did a lot. And then what happened, and we did prayer in my house for leadership, yes. Which was fun, because we had as many as 72 leaders from all over the region, as far as 2.5 hours, come to my house and pray. An angel led it, and the pastors and the leaders, they all entered in.
Yes.
And it was easy, because we're leaders, because we don't need patty cake, pet me, help me, you know. We're leaders. Yeah. We know how to endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Yeah. We're experienced. Yeah. And by the way, at that time, people were laid down all their pride and selfish ambition. And when they came to my house, I'm just Margie. I'm not a threat.
Yeah.
It's true. Because if you honor the leadership, they'll trust you.
That's right.
Right? So we did those. We did those meetings and the KIU events. And then... COVID hit. I don't say thank God for COVID, because I don't. But for me, COVID was a reason of escape from the corporate United Prayer meetings that were so hard. And so Joe Source, could you come? Could you lead corporate? Could you lead corporate prayer? I rolled my eyes. What am I going to do with that? He's got four people. He's got three or four campuses. Outstanding ministry. He's got the Holy Ghost and the Word, and he keeps his sermons down to about 25 minutes.
Yes.
And they have like three or four services on Sunday. And he's got the Holy Ghost. In his church, I've literally stood on the chairs and prophesied to people and laid hands on people. So that gives you an idea that it might seem like it's seeker friendly, but on the nights where people are hungry for the Holy Ghost, we have a wild time.
Right.
So now I'm like, all right. So I prayed about it, and then, and this is for us, and we'll probably close with this. So I'm like, how am I going to lead? I don't want to do it. No, it's too hard. How am I going to get people to pray? You know the God who he calls, he equips. So they had four people with all those hundreds of people.
Yeah.
And they dwindled down to maybe two. And one was the leader of the prayer. So I called my friend Mary Alice Islip. I said, Mary Alice, they want me to lead corporate prayer. I'm rolling my eyes. I don't want to do it. She said, Mark, she said, the conversation changed my life as a leader. And I recorded it, thank God. I even typed it out. We don't know everything, right? She's another leader in the prayer movement from back in the day when I started. She said, you teach the same thing you always teach. Because I'm thinking, do I have to spend hours and hours and hours getting messages? Like a new message, like some new revelation. I don't think there's any new revelation you can get on prayer, do you? Prayer is prayer.
Come on.
So she said, no, you teach the same thing. She said, but you got to tell the churches that you don't. Prayer in the church is not a department. Oh, the department. The prayer department is going to go in the back room, shut the door, and pray in a circle with each other, and there's like seven of them. And they're hidden.
Right.
She said, you got to get the whole spirit of prayer. You got to get the spirit of prayer on the whole entire church.
Right.
That's changed my whole outlook. Changed my whole vision. So we went in. So that's what I started, imparting the vision to the people at New Beginnings. We started out with very few the first meeting. But by the last time, we quit for the summer, you know, because people get distracted in summer. And the last meeting we had in his church, we had 75 people coming.
Yes.
Now, here's the thing that I learned from Mary Alice. She says, you got to get the leadership involved. Yeah. If the leadership is not involved, it's not going to work.
That's right.
When I went to these KRU events, I don't know if I ever told you, I was so disappointed. Because some of the churches who allowed us to use their buildings pastors weren't even there.
I remember.
And a couple of them were on my board.
I remember.
Why wouldn't you be there?
Exactly.
You talk about disappointment. For the first time, I started getting like, I ain't doing this no more. And then the Holy Ghost kicks you and goes, yeah, you are. So she said, you got to get the spirit of prayer on the whole entire body. The whole entire body. And the leadership has to come. Mm-hmm. And you know what? With Joe, Pastor Joe, he's Joe to me, and his wife, they're always at the front row.
Yeah, good.
They're always raising their hands.
Yes.
One time I did a meeting. God told me to do a meeting. Silent prayer. Silent prayer. And I taught on the whisper of God. Because I teach about 15 minutes, then we pray for the rest. The whisper of God. And I said, now we're going to sit in silence for the next 20 minutes. People were like, what? But we did it. People had encounters.
Come on.
It was like incredible. I taught them how to listen, shut their minds off.
Yes.
If you got to teach people how to pray.
Come on.
You teach them. If your mind wanders, it's not the unpardonable sin. You just bring it back. So I said at the very end of the meeting, I go, how many of you were really distracted? Pastor Joe, he's like this. Just a humble guy.
Yeah.
But we got to get the spirit of prayer up on the whole church.
Yes. That's right.
It's not a department.
That's right.
Amen.
My house will be called a house of prayer.
Yes.
Amen.
Can I take 2 more minutes?
You've got 10.
I'm just going to say it. Acts 2:1-4. We're not going to read it for the sake of time. They all prayed at once, and they were all filled, and they were assembled. Together they were praying. They were in an upper room. They were of one mind, one accord. They were hungry for God. They started out with how many? 400 or 500, and they ended up, you guys, you teachers, 500 they started out, and there was 120 left, right? So the real hungry ones, the remnant, was in the upper room. I know God's coming. I know the Holy Ghost. I know He's going to pour out His Spirit on all flesh. I know my sons and daughters are going to prophesy. I know He's going to bring many sons and daughters unto light. I know it.
Come on.
They didn't grow weary in well-doing. They held fast the confession of their faith and the vision that was on the inside of them. They didn't grow weary in well-doing. Yeah, they were tempted, but so what?
Jesus.
So they all prayed together. They're all in one accord. They're all, they all spoke in tongues, the whole thing. You know the story?
Yeah.
Okay? Now there's 3,000 saved. And here we go. It was actually quoted last night. Acts 2:42. The Bible says they continued in doctrine and teaching and fellowship and prayer.
Come on.
Right.
Acts 4. You know how that works, right? Acts 4. They were greatly disturbed that, and in my opinion, who was greatly disturbed? The leaders, the religious people. They were greatly disturbed, and in my opinion, a lot of them were jealous. I think we've pretty much done away with the jealousy, don't you? Because we're all so beat up and crushed. Like, brother, would you like, the Presbyterian guy, brother, would you like to come have, go, oh, yeah, I'll come have. Okay? But now 5,000 are saved. So then what happened? Here we see hell coming against the move of God.
Yeah.
Uh-uh. You're not coming against my move of God.
Okay.
This is my move of God. I'm the mother of it. Do you feel like that? Do you feel like you're the father and the mother of the move of God? We are the mothers and the fathers of the move of God. This next generation, they're depending on us. I feel like a mother of the move of God. I have a responsibility to teach it, to preach it, to birth it, to do something with it. That's why God said, God said, He said, I'm going to harden you to difficulties. I'm pruning you to harden you to difficulties. So you know what happened? And being let go, they went to their own companions. Thank God. Together we pray. We are FCM. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders, and then when they heard that, they had a focused prayer.
Yes.
There's so much here. They said, Lord, you made heaven and earth. We exalt you. We exalt you. We exalt you. Oh, Lord, you made the heavens and the earth. You're the God of all flesh. We exalt you. Nothing is impossible with you. They acknowledge his greatness. They said, Lord, you're a God who made heaven and earth and the sea. And then they quote from Acts 2, you know the story. They said, Lord, but behold their threats. But grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your words. Yes. Now, you know, if you say too much on the internet, they're going to shut off your YouTube channel. You better not speak in tongues.
Come on.
That's right.
You're not shutting my mouth. You threaten us with that? We'll threaten the devil? And I'm telling you, we will resist him and we will put him to flight. He is afraid of you rising up and being a house of prayer individually and collectively. That's why there's been so much war in your mind and so much discouragement and so much apathy in our churches. Grant unto your servants that with all boldness they will speak your word, by stretching forth your hands to heal, and that signs and wonders will be done by the name of your holy servant, Jesus. 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 Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when they prayed, what happened? This is the puncher, and we're close. The place was shaken when they were assembled together. And the Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke the word of God with boldness, signs of wonder, so on and so forth. Mary Alice said to me, she says, have you ever been in a prayer meeting where the whole house shook?
Come on. Yes. Jesus.
This is Book of Acts prayer.
That's right. Come on.
Together we pray.
Right.
And at Joe Sources, I'm calling it Book of Acts prayer. Because people don't understand corporate prayer. Why do we all pray at once? What is this weird thing? What is this? And lastly, you know what happened to me? As the leader, I started operating as a seer.
Come on.
See, these gifts are not for ourselves.
That's right.
My grace is made perfect in weakness.
Right.
My grace is sufficient for you. You came to the end of yourself. Now let me kick in, and I'll make it really easy, and I'll show you what you guys are praying about.
Amen.
Okay, I see this. I see that. Let's pray into it. And they're all like, little bees. And they all stayed with me. And then I would say to them, do you feel that on the inside? And the newbies, they're like, like, what is that?
Yeah.
Like, right here. See, I go, it's intercession. Yeah. Let's pray into it like a mother.
Yeah.
That's right. Come on.
Let's stand.
Hallelujah.
Let's stand.
Thank you, Lord.
Anu manishini me anamaya lasia. Let's pray. Arise up in the maya kastore mane. Rise up in the mashikite namanaya labasa. Rise up in the mantike stabaya koshikito lebesifa. Rise up in the manikastore manaya shikita labase. Rise up in the mashikite debahaya. Alibasho Ramanaya Manaya Minaim Deshtabaka Siki Talabaha Hosa Koto de Bashi and Main Leda de Basaya. I am calling my people to lay aside every weight and the sin that would so easily beset them. And I am calling my people to run with patience the race that is set before you. For I am the author and I am the finisher of that which I have begun. And what I have begun, I am going to continue to perfect it in this day and in this hour. So be steadfast, my people, immovable. Always abounding in what I have called you to be and called you to do. Your works and your labors are not in vain. But I am in the midst of you going to raise up Aaron's and hers that will hold up your arms and help you fight the good fight of faith and help you take the region. And I'm going to impart unto them by my spirit, even in dreams in the night, I'm going to impart unto them a vision for their land, a vision for their country, a vision for their territory, a vision for their families. And they shall too run with you and walk with you and support you. And in Nema Commission and Nema Nemato. And in Namanta Commission and Emantamba Nema Shata. Aniso Bregista Velenician and Amanai. Ayakonga Devi so process of Vista Manaya Anelemene. I speak in the name of Jesus to the angels and I speak the word of God. Father, I thank you that the wealth of the sinner, we call it into the hands of these churches and these ministries, those that are doing the pure work of God in this region and in the regions represented here. We call forth the financial, the financial, the financial, the financial, so they can build the kingdom and do that which you desire them to do and have called them to do and called them to be. Father, we pray for a revival, revive, 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 a revival to revive back to life, revive the prayer movement, revive that which you have begun, revive it, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.